95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Today's guest is here today to share her story of postpartum depression and her will to live for her children. Amy Buston tried a number of traditional treatments and medicines to try to treat her severe depression. After years of suffering, she eventually turned to something called electroconvulsive therapy. Electroconvulsive therapy is a medical treatment most commonly used in patients with severe major depression or bipolar disorder that has not responded to other treatments. ECT involves a brief electrical stimulation of the brain while the patient is under anesthesia. Amy is here today to share her experience with ECT and tell us her story. Amy, thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about you first and your family.
I'm the oldest of seven, so I come from a large Irish Catholic family. And from the vantage point of a child, my mom, my parents seem to have it all together. They're really busy, but they were all together. So when I became a mom, from my eyes, I was not doing nearly what my mother did for us. Like, I was not as good at it.
You thought you weren't living up to how she raised you.
Right. I had children. I thought it was really hard. And
it is hard.
It's really hard. And I was the first one to have a child. So no one was ever pregnant. None of us were ever pregnant.
Okay.
Siblings. And I had preeclampsia and I couldn't breastfeed and I did everything wrong. I was doing everything wrong. And
you weren't.
I thought I was doing everything wrong. Right. I couldn't live up to it. So
right. During this depression, did you speak to your mother about it? And did she happen to tell you that she did go through some of these things as well?
Yes. She had postpartum depression after my sister, who's 11 months younger than me. So she had two of us at that time. And she went through postpartum depression then.
And so until you started suffering, you didn't know that?
I don't think that I did, no.
So you're the oldest of seven, and you yourself have three children.
Yes.
You're married?
Yes. So my husband and I have been married since 2005. We started having children earlier than we expected to. I have three children. Jack is 11, Grace is 8, and Caroline is 6.
After your youngest child is when you suffered the most severe postpartum depression.
Yes. After my oldest was born, I was diagnosed with postpartum OCD, which I didn't even know was a thing.
No, I never heard of that. What is that?
I was very anxious and very compulsive over what I fed him, what he wore on his body, lotions, everything he was exposed to, the toys. But it served me. In retrospect, I was thin. I ate well. He ate well. The house was always clean.
So like what though? Like germs? And
yes. Okay. Yes. Germs. And that was when the like the BPA in the plastics became a big thing. And
what first-time mother doesn't obsess over that?
Well, in retrospect, I think we all do.
Right.
I didn't know it then.
Okay. What do you do for a living now?
I'm a physician assistant in neurology.
Which is odd,
because yes.
What you were suffering kind of ties into what you do for a living.
A little bit, yes.
So tell me a little bit about the postpartum depression and the worst part of it after you had your youngest child and what you went through, how you felt.
When Caroline came home, the youngest, and we had two little ones and now a newborn, I still was struggling breastfeeding. I didn't breastfeed any of them. And I was overwhelmed and I was sad. I don't know how else to explain it except sad. And I can only explain it now because it's gone. I didn't realize it was a feeling in my chest always that I just thought, I didn't think anything of it because it was always there. But I was sad. I was hopeless. I didn't understand. Like, I had these big life questions. Like, what is the point of all of this? To have children and grow up and die? Like, why bother? That was my why bother. And
so you were questioning life.
I was questioning, yes, everything. Why bother? This just felt so difficult. And for what? I was going to feel like this forever.
What steps did you take after you or someone else? Who was it? Was it you that realized what was going on? Was it your husband?
No, it was me.
You realized what? That it was postpartum?
I figured that's what it was. So I called a therapist and saw her a few times. But the amount of work the therapy required, I literally was not capable of doing. I'm in therapy now and it's a whole different, like, I'm capable of trying to change my thoughts and do the homework and kind of change the way I was talking to myself. But back then I was not capable of doing that.
Why? Just because you were so deep in the depression?
I think so.
That's scary though.
Mm-hmm. There was no talking my way out of it whatsoever.
So you saw a therapist, you saw a psychiatrist, you tried basically every medication under the sun.
Most of them, yes. And sometimes I would get a little better and I was good for 6 months. And then it kind of stopped working. And I had side effects from all of them. I got fat from all of them. I sweated. But if I was a little better, I was okay. Like, I'll take them a little better. And then it would stop working. Hmm. So after the medicines, there's a therapy called TMS. It's transmagnetic cranial stimulation. It's a non-invasive, like, magnet on the head for 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week for about 6 weeks. Initially, I thought it had helped, but I think really I went every day. I was actively, daily doing something to get myself better. And the staff was so kind and I was working hard at it. And I think that's why I felt better. Because in retrospect, once I finished it in 2 weeks, it had petered off.
So not the actual treatment, but the fact that you were accomplishing something made
yes.
you feel better.
Yes.
Were you working during this whole time?
Yes. For all of this, I was. Not until the ECT did I stop. I took 3 months off.
So you eventually did take 3 months off.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. give me a timeline, though. So mm-hmm. where, when you started the TMS, let's mm-hmm. talk about that. How
sure.
far in were you? How many months after your daughter was born?
Oh, gosh. So that was 2017. So Caroline was born in 2013. So
oh
she was
gosh.
Four.
Oh, so
oh yeah.
Years
oh,
in.
Yeah. This is not
oh
new.
My
oh,
gosh.
No.
Oh, you poor
this
thing.
Didn't
okay.
go in within a, this wasn't 18 months. This was years.
Were you suicidal?
I was, but I think there's a difference between actively suicidal and suicidal thoughts or ideations, which is actively as you have a plan, you know when you're going to do it, things like that. I just didn't want to be here. I did not want to be here.
But you didn't have a plan.
I knew how I would have done it, but I didn't actually have a plan to carry it out, per se.
You knew you weren't going to
I knew
carry
I wasn't
it.
Going to do it.
Why did you not carry it out?
Primarily because I never wanted my children to feel like I didn't love them enough to stay, because it had nothing to do with them. That being said, I also think that there is something in the part of the brain, the frontal lobe, that acts on the part that tells you this is not a good idea, don't do this, is different in people. So I just want to make sure that I point out that I did not commit suicide because I'm so wonderful that I love my children so much. I did, but there's also a part of the brain that some people don't have that cutoff switch mm. where this is not a good idea, that inhibitory mechanism in the frontal lobe. That, like, they say, I'm going to do this, so they go and do it.
Well, and they're mentally ill.
Right,
and so
right,
they're
right,
not
right.
thinking clearly.
As I was, right, right,
and
right.
They're not thinking of the aftermath and what right. they're leaving their family and their children.
Right, they're not capable of it because they're so sick.
Finally, you tried something called electroconvulsive therapy. Explain what this is.
So ECT is a mechanism where they use electrical stimulation. They put these electrodes on your brain and put you to sleep. And they use electricity to trigger a seizure.
So you're under anesthesia and
yes.
they're triggering a seizure.
Yes. And they use paralytics so your body doesn't move for the seizure. Except they put a blood pressure cuff around your ankle so the medication doesn't get there. So they can see that you're having the seizure in your foot. Because before they use these paralyzing agents, people would break bones and, you know, break their teeth and stuff like that.
And this therapy is essentially what was used in the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with Jack Nicholson.
It's what they were trying to depict. Yes. Yes. They do not do that. I don't know if they ever did it that way, but they didn't always use anesthesia. I don't know when they started it, but they've been doing it this way with anesthesia for a long time.
I mean, I can't believe that this exists. I didn't know that this was an actual treatment.
Yes.
And it is used for people who have severe depression.
Yes.
And other treatments are just not working, like
yes.
yourself. So now when you tried ECT, how many years in were you?
I started ECT. My first session was February 28th, 2018. So Caroline was five.
So you're 5 years into severe depression.
Yes.
And you thought, I'm guessing, did you think, I'll try anything?
Oh, I was always at that point. I'll try anything. Unless it was something like someone would say, oh, well, if you change the way you eat, or if you slept better, or if you exercise more. But when you're depressed, that's very hard to carry out. Like, I was less lucky. My teeth were brushed most days. So
with typical depression, you hear people talk about it. I couldn't get out of bed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't shower. Like you said, I couldn't mm-hmm. brush my teeth. How was the care of your children going through all of these years? You had three kids.
Yes. So I was never someone who couldn't get out of bed, mostly because of the kids and mostly because of the guilt I felt, because so much fell to my husband. Like, he was doing the grocery shopping. He was paying the bills, like any kind of household organization project Matt did. But also, like, birthday parties he would go to, taking kids to their activities he would go, stuff
he
like that.
He did all of that.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm sure it was a lot on him because
mm-hmm.
it's
yes.
three kids.
Yes.
And you're not doing well for 5 years.
Right.
Let's go back to the ECT. So mm-hmm. I would imagine with a treatment like this, there's got to be a pretty long list of side effects.
Right.
Did you experience any of the side effects?
I did experience some of them. One, I had a migraine when I woke up always, but I have chronic migraines, so that's to be expected. But it is a side effect in patients who don't have migraines. And then the big one is memory loss. That's the big concern with ECT. And I did have memory loss in terms of the time around the ECT. So the first month, you do it 3 times a week for 4 weeks. I don't remember that month. I guess it must have been March. I don't remember the month at all. My son had his first communion then. I don't remember it. I don't remember the family coming. I don't remember going out after first communion to we went to a restaurant. I see pictures of it and I'm flabbergasted.
And I guess your husband planned all of that then? That was him?
I helped. Like, I was capable of functioning. I just don't remember it.
You just don't remember it.
Yes.
Were you able to drive?
I didn't drive much then. No. For 24 hours, they say don't make any decisions and don't drive. But after that, you're fine. It's just the retrograde. Like, when you look back at it, that memory is not there.
Wow. What are some of the other side effects?
Mainly the memory. Sometimes people are really sore from because they're having a seizure.
Your muscles, I would imagine, are all tensed.
Yeah, that's what the anesthesia is for, to prevent that. But still, I think people move a little bit.
What about confusion?
Oh, sure.
When you wake up?
Oh, absolutely, yes. I woke up once specifically, and I remember laying in the bed and kind of looking around and, like, not knowing who I was, where I was. But I was totally calm about it. Like, my mind was silent for once. Like, that's what it would do. And I said, excuse me, why am I here? And she said, oh, honey, you just had ECT.
How many rounds in total did you have of this?
36.
Wow. How was it helping you? Well, I guess you said you didn't remember the month of March, mm-hmm. but so did you know it was helping you? Was it helping you? Or when did you realize it was helping you?
Not initially. They say that some people feel better after their first session. They wake up like it. The seizure and the postictal, the time after the seizure does something that makes people feel. I didn't have any of that. So I went back to work, 3 months in, and I didn't really feel much different. And now I was failing ECT as well, like the last hope, the end of the line, kind of like, how do you not get better on ECT? Everybody gets better on ECT, except for me. Like, how was I screwing this up? That's what I was thinking anyway. It was probably November or December, so probably 6 months in, I started to notice a difference. But it wasn't really much better until I stopped. And I think that was because I was really anxious over the sessions. So I would worry for 2 weeks before I had ECT because I was afraid of it. I was so afraid of it. Everything that I remembered, like it, with the new program on the computer or this, I'd have to write down how I did it because when I woke up, I wouldn't remember. That was very anxiety provoking. So once I got away from that, like 3 months out where I, you know, oh gosh, I don't have to go back. It really got a lot better.
Okay. So then do you think it was actually that type of therapy that helped you, or was it just you finally coming out of your depression?
I think it was. It was the ECT because this sadness that I had, but I remember thinking, oh my God, that's gone. That's not supposed to be there. That's sad, that, like, ugh, why bother? I had that always, like when I was young. I didn't think it was depression. I was really active. I played a lot of sports.
So it was always there in you, but after your kids is when it kind of triggered to a higher level.
Yes. But I didn't really realize that it was there until it was gone. And I don't know how to explain that other than that, because it was so weird.
I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't suffer anything, certainly like you did, but I can understand how terrible it feels. Mm-hmm. So to multiply that mm-hmm. into what you experience. I guess I don't fully comprehend what level you were at, but I could mm-hmm. easily understand how terrible that could feel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still get treatments today?
No. No, my last one was March 29th of 2019. And I'm much better. It's very strange. I'm working on the shame that surrounds it because it really is, from what I understand, like only 100,000 people in the United States get this treatment every year, which is not a lot of people. I've never met someone who's had ECT, except for my grandmother, which I didn't realize at the time. I've never had a patient who had ECT. I've been in practice for 20 years almost. So I go to PTA meetings and like trying to make mom friends. And I'm like I have this like secret that like I doubt anyone here has ever had ECT. And oh my God. So then I don't talk to anybody and I go home. Do you know what I mean?
So you don't talk to anybody. Do any of your friends know that you've had it done?
One does. One.
Well, you know, doing this radio show, a lot of other people are going to know you've had it
right.
done. I hope you're
right.
okay with this.
Right. That was part of it. I mostly wanted to, while I was having it done, I asked every doctor I encountered, whether it was for me or a colleague, like, do you have any patients who've had ECT? And everyone kind of, oh, yeah. Have you ever had anyone young or a mom? Because most patients who have ECT are elderly. It's considered a first-line treatment because the side effects of the medications are so severe.
So did you take medication on top of the therapy?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes. Okay. And then I was in therapy at the same time, like talk therapy. So, yeah. But it would have been so helpful to know that someone had or someone knew a woman who had had this done with young children, who had a job, who was doing...
And wasn't elderly.
And wasn't elderly. Just that. Yes. Yes. That had ECT, got better, and continued to work and be a mom and be a wife and be a friend. And
you wanted a little reassurance.
Yeah. I wanted just that someone... That I wasn't so alone.
And have you met anybody?
No. Which is fine. But it was more that if I won't talk about it, and I'm in medicine, I understand a lot about it. If I won't talk about it, then I'm sure there's women out there who won't either.
Right. So if there's somebody who has had it,
right.
They don't know you've had it. How can they let you know?
Right.
So how are you today? I know you said that you're much better. That sadness in your chest and your body has gone away. Are you happy?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm very happy. I'm content, I guess, is... The word, like sometimes I get bummed out over some things, like I had surgery on my hand and I have to have it on the other hand. But normal, what I imagine is normal. You know, you're feeling down for a couple of days. Can you just go on with your life? It doesn't stay.
Doesn't consume you.
Yes. I'm far enough out now that once I stop the ECT, if I got upset over something, oh my God, it's back. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
You've stopped that.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing
I stopped that.
That it's not back. A normal flow of emotions.
Right. Normal people feel. This is what people feel.
Your husband seems like he's pretty amazing.
My husband is awesome. Yes. Yes, he is.
Not that a husband shouldn't stick by their wife. That's got to be difficult for the husband
it was.
In the situation as well.
I never asked him specifically about it, but most people did not know we were doing this. Our family didn't know I was doing this right at the beginning. None of our friends know. And I think that it was very isolating for him as well, because I'm sure
he couldn't talk about it either.
Right. And not because I didn't want him so much as he's not in medicine. He doesn't know what's going on.
He's just hoping his wife is okay.
Gets better. Yeah. And gets better.
Yeah. And what about your kids? What do they know about it? Anything?
They don't know anything about the ECT. I've had migraines since I was a child. So I've had chronic migraines. And with the pregnancies, they got much, much worse. So in 2017, I think, I was in the hospital at the neurology center where I go. They admit patients for lidocaine and IV for several days. And then I had ketamine at one point. The first time I was there for the lidocaine, I was there 12 days. And the kids still talk about that.
What is that?
Lidocaine is like the numbing medicine the dentists use in your mouth. But they give it to you in the vein through the IV. And it's supposed to do something for like reset your brain or something. With the migraines. And I did that twice and it didn't really help. So the third time I did 5 days of ketamine infusions around the clock. They do it based on your body weight, I guess. And that broke up the migraines. I think that had something to do with the depression as well. Because I remember specifically thinking, getting up one day and thinking, I'm going to feel like this for the rest of my life. As someone who practices neurology, I know that that's not true. And I treat people every day and see it. It's not true, but it just felt true. But the kids remember the hospital for the headaches. The ECT, I would go in the morning and I'd be home before they got home from school. Now, Dad would also be home. The first month, Matt took a month off of FMLA, a month off of work because I couldn't go pick them up or things. I mean, it was just so much. It was so encompassing. So they knew that we were both home, but they didn't really know why. But they don't know it was for depression and they don't know it was ECT.
Is it something you will eventually talk to them about?
Oh, yes.
I mean, you mentioned your grandmother actually had ECT and you didn't know that.
Mm-mm.
So there may be something that runs in your family.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you'll eventually talk to them.
Absolutely,
about it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think you'll say to them or what will you tell them about it?
I don't know. I'll probably research it because I want them to understand that it's okay or that sometimes people feel this way and it's not bad per se. I don't want them to judge themselves. Like I was depressed and then they judged it. And then it was,
made it worse. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Everything I did made it. I fed it, fueled the fire. And I'd want them to know that there's help and there's better treatments. Like I waited a while and then I was like 35 when this when I started the treatments, the medicines and stuff. But I would want them to know that it does run in the family. And I think that we are probably going to be more prone to it than someone who does not have depression in their family. And we want to keep a close eye on it because it can be deadly for sure.
Does your husband suffer from depression at all?
Not clinical depression. I think he was pretty down like while this was going on. But I think it was because he was so overwhelmed.
Right.
And there was so much going on that it was really hard for him. And the kids came out unscathed, which is a testament to what he did. They're such loving souls, the three of them. And I think that the teachers tell us, oh, my gosh, they're so wonderful. They came to us like that. Like, we got the children. Like, they are so loving and kind, and they fight with each other and they throw stuff and there's crayon on our wall. But they're so who they are is how they came to us. So all we have to do is not mess it up.
If somebody is suffering from depression, mm-hmm. severe depression, maybe mm-hmm. something as deep as you suffered from, what would you say to them?
I guess it would depend what they said to me. Like, if someone was suicidal, I would have them go to their nearest ER or call 911. If they were in Philadelphia, I would start giving them names. Penn has Women's Behavioral Wellness, which is psychiatrists and therapists who specialize in women through the years. I mean, postpartum, premenstrual, postmenopausal. So if it was a woman, that's where I would start.
What if somebody had questions about ECT? What would you say to them about that?
It is nothing like what's depicted on TV or in books. Don't hang your hat on that. But you do have to research it. There are websites that I didn't know about till I was finished that talk about how devastating it is to the brain, and it's a traumatic brain injury and things like that. You have to research it, and you have to trust your doctor. No doctor is going to prescribe something that's going to injure your brain forever. Believe it or not, your doctors want you to get well also. So you do have to do your own research, but you have to trust what the doctors tell you because you're sick and we're not, like, I wasn't capable of deciding for myself if I needed ECT.
If somebody wants to reach out to you, do you have maybe like a social media or?
I'm on Facebook at Amy Buston. And then my email is amybuston@hotmail.com. It's just one word.
Amy, thank you so much for coming by and sharing your story. It's very interesting. I've never spoken to somebody who had this ECT. And when you sent the email, it sparked my interest for sure. So thank you for coming by.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And sharing your story. It's amazing. And I'm so glad that you're happy today.
Oh, thank you so much.
If you missed any part of today's show, Amy's podcast will be available on the website, 957benfm.com. On Monday morning, you go to the website, scroll down to Her Story with Kathy Romano, and you can click on Amy's story right there. If you have feelings similar to what Amy described, if you're depressed or you're having any type of suicidal thoughts, just know it gets better. There are people out there that can help, and this is not how you'll feel forever. You can call 1-800-273-TALK any day, anytime. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is a national network of local crisis centers that provides free and confidential emotional support to people in suicidal crisis or emotional distress 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That number again is 1-800-273-TALK. Thanks so much for joining me again today here on Her Story. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.